KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
Cloudy skies, temperatures holding steady at 30 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy to cloudy today with a high around 36. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. A winter weather advisory remains in effect until 6 p.m. for Pottawatomie and Mills counties in our KJAN listing area. Those two counties are expecting some freezing drizzle with total ice accumulations from a trace up to 0.05 inch, winds gusting to near 35 miles per hour. In the news, the Creston Police Department today reports four recent arrests. A little after 1 a.m. on Sunday, 38-year-old David Kopp of Creston was arrested for public intoxication. Kopp was later released on a $300 bond. Saturday afternoon, 22-year-old Kendrick Davis of Creston was arrested at the Greater Regional Health Center for criminal mischief in the fifth degree. He was cited and released from the scene on a promise to appear in court. Friday night, 19-year-old Seth Fox of Creston was arrested at the Union County Law Enforcement Center for theft in the fourth degree. He was later released on a $1,000 bond. And a little after 1 a.m. Friday, 31-year-old Scott Johnston of Essex was arrested in Creston for driving while suspended and carrying weapons, that being a knife over 5 inches. Johnston was released from the Union County Jail on a $1,300 bond. Creston police said also officials with a Fairway store in Creston reported Friday morning that at around 3:30 p.m. on January 28th, an unknown male subject entered the store and took a bottle of liquor without paying for it. The loss was estimated at $40. A man living in the 600 block of North Elm Street in Creston reported Friday morning that sometime between 3:50 a.m. and 7:10 a.m. that day, someone apparently attempted to steal his 1998 GMC Yukon while it was parked in the alley behind his home. The person or persons caused damage to the vehicle's ignition system. The total amount of the damage was estimated at $250. The pursuit of a vehicle that began in Pottawatomie County early Sunday morning didn't end until a little more than an hour later in northern Guthrie County. According to dispatch reports, during the pursuit, the suspect vehicle tried to elude a Pott County deputy at around 12:45 a.m. by driving through a cornfield and a barbed wire fence before getting onto York Road and turning north onto Highway 59. In Shelby County, the vehicle traveled at speeds of nearly 110 miles per hour and blew through stop signs in Harlan before continuing north and eventually turning east on the Highway 141. At around 1:15 a.m. The vehicle continued eastbound and finally ended just west of Highway 4, east of Bagley, at around 1:50 a.m. Multiple law enforcement agencies took part in the attempt to stop the driver, who was said to have possibly been under the influence of alcohol or narcotics. At least two law enforcement agency vehicles were disabled during the chase when they ran over stop sticks meant to disable the suspect's vehicle. The suspect's vehicle continued, ran over the stop sticks at one point, but kept going until it was near Bagley. As mentioned, there were no injuries reported. It's not clear what prompted that traffic stop, and additional details, including the driver's name and charges, were not immediately available. Among the agencies we know of that did participate in the effort to stop that driver was the Pottawatomie, Shelby, Guthrie, Crawford, and Carroll County Sheriff's Departments, Iowa State Patrol, Harlan, and Panora Police, among others. Authorities in western Iowa set a pursuit Saturday afternoon in Pottawatomie County, ended with the arrest of a man wanted on a sex offender warrant out of Douglas County, Nebraska. WOWT-TV in Omaha reports Nicholas Harms was taken into custody after a Pott County Sheriff's deputy performed a pit maneuver at the corner of Pioneer Trail and Traceview Loop. Authorities told the station the pursuit began when Harms refused to pull over for traffic violation. During the chase, speeds reached in excess of 100 miles per hour, with some speeds in the rural southeastern Council Bluffs area. He was finally stopped at, ranging up to 115 miles per hour. No injuries were reported. Arms was being held over the weekend in the Pottawatomie County Jail. He faces eluding and other charges, in addition to being wanted on a warrant out of Nebraska. Officials at the Iowa Department of Public Safety said on a Sunday that at around 9:40 p.m. Friday, the Monona County Sheriff's Office received a 911 call in reference to a shooting that occurred in Mapleton. Emergency personnel responding to the call located a deceased man at the scene. The victim and witnesses at the scene are minors, and their names have not been released as of this time. Authorities said there was no threat to the public, though. The shooting was being investigated by the Mapleton Police Department, Monona County Sheriff's Office, Monona County Attorney's Office, and the Iowa DCI. The investigation is ongoing, and officials have not released any additional details. The Taylor County Sheriff's Office reports one person was injured during a rollover accident Friday near the Adams-Taylor County line. Authorities said 31-year-old Sean Sullivan of Houston, Texas, was southbound on Highway 148 in a Chevy Silverado 1500 pickup when, for reasons unknown, his vehicle left the road and rolled into the east ditch. Sullivan was transported to CHI Health in Corning by Adams County EMS for treatment of non-life-threatening injuries. Taylor County Sheriff's Office was assisted at the scene by the Adams County Sheriff's Deputies, Corning Fire Department, and Adams County EMS. That accident had remained under investigation. Elsewhere in the news, the Cass County Board of Supervisors met twice last week in their boardroom of the courthouse in Atlantic. Auditor Dale Sunderman said that during the January 28th meeting, Veterans Affairs Executive Director Mitch Holmes gave a report of second quarter fiscal year 2020 activity. Holmes said during the quarter, 182 veterans were assisted in the form of VA federal benefits and or local general assistance. In other business, the board voted to approve an application for a Class C beer permit with Sunday sales privilege for Hanson Valley Oil on Boston Road. On Friday, January 31st, the Cass County Supervisors adopted a resolution setting the date and time for a public hearing on the plans, specifications, cost estimates, and form of contract for the Cold Springs State Park paving project. You can read the resolution in the same story on the news page at KJAN.com. That resolution set a public hearing on the matter for 9:05 a.m. on Tuesday, February 11th. The supervisors' next meeting is at 9 a.m. on Tuesday, where they'll hold a work session to work on the fiscal year 2020 and 2021 Cass County budget. Now, the Atlantic City Council will meet in a regular session at 5:30 p.m. this Wednesday, February 5th, in their chambers at City Hall. On their agenda is action on an order to close select streets on June 13th from 7 a.m. to 11:30 p.m. for the Shift ATL block party. The affected streets include Chestnut from 7th to 6th and 6th Street from Chestnut to Poplar. The event will include a beer garden, live music, and smoke-off competition with the proceeds benefiting Shift ATL to accomplish their Atlantic revitalization initiatives. The council will also hear a report from Parks and Recreation Department Director Bryant Rasmussen and key accomplishments of the department in 2019, along with his goals for 2020. They'll then act on a resolution setting February 19th as the date for a public hearing on approving fiscal year 2021 maximum property tax dollars. Now, City Administrator John Lund says that the Iowa Department of Management requires the city to publish in the newspaper and the city's website, as well as any social media page, the maximum tax levy and rate. Lund says, while it appears in looking at the numbers, the city is going wild asking for a year-to-year increase of 5.62%. The devil is in the details. He says the total tax rate will include voted general fund levy, debt service levy, and capital improvement reserve levy. The city's debt service levy of $4.23, according to Lund, is completely hidden in the published notice. It accounts for slightly more than $1.07 million the city will tax, as compared to the more than $1.04 million in the previous year. Lund says on property tax statements, the city will show an increase of 2.71%, not the 4.67% that was shown on the public notice. Over the long term, he says, the city is expected to see less and less in dollar increases from property taxes due to the structural limits outlined in the state code and the declining taxable value realized from the multi-residential rollback. Lund said also that while 2.71% is the increase in dollars generated, it will not reflect the impact on the property taxes levied against individual properties. There's no way to know, he says, what the impact will be in year-to-year impact on taxpayers. However, when other authorities set their levies, a taxpayer can calculate the changes in their property taxes using a formula, and that is available in the same story on the news page at KJAN.com. Lund says also that he's forecast a less than 1% increase in the fiscal year 2022 budget. After the council sets the date for a public hearing on the fiscal year 21 maximum property tax dollars Wednesday, they'll act on a resolution setting the date for a public hearing on a proposal to enter into a general obligation solid waste management loan and to borrow money in a principal amount not to exceed $90,000. The Cass County Landfill has instituted a per capita fee of $12 per resident to be assessed annually. The amount the city pays is $85,344, which is payable in four equal installments over the course of a fiscal year. Now, the final action item on the council's agenda is a resolution establishing the allocation of revenues from the city of Marnie through compensation for specified activities, and that's with regard to time and work performed by Atlantic City Clerk Barb Barrick and her assistant. Marnie pays Atlantic $5,000 per year for those services. The resolution would set a schedule for how those funds are dispersed. That is a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.